Please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Or you can just look at the publication in your bulletin. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and following. We're covering some basic Christian doctrine. And we've more recently looked at justification. Soon we'll be looking at glorification, but today we are in between, looking at sanctification. And rather than dealing with this systematically, I've chosen to one particular text that I'd like us to use to cover this area as we consider such an important topic. In verse 16 and following of chapter 4, St. Paul has already mentioned that the believers serve a risen Christ, and they too would one day rise to be up above with Christ in glory. And here in the 16th verse, Paul now states, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, transient, but what is unseen is eternal." We are so privileged as believers in Christ. Scripture says that we are saved by grace through faith. And this is a gift from God so that none of us will brag or boast. You are very privileged, you who believe. I am privileged. Together we have been justified in Christ. Scripture says we are saved by grace. And that means we've received as a gift of grace salvation. And as we consider this huge gift of God, part of the gift is, the initial part is justification. Where God declares you who trust in Christ, He declares you upright. He declares you a forgiven person. And He has in store for you the other part of that salvation is glorification. Well, one day you will be everything God intends you to be in all of your glory, integrity, and everything that you could want to be. God is destining you toward that end, as Romans says. Those whom He's justified, He's also glorified. In Romans 8, verse 30. The only issue we have is we're in between. Here we are, somewhere between being declared righteous and actually being righteous. We are in between, in this kind of living contradiction. He declares us to be good in every way, and we're destined to be good in every way, and yet we're caught in this world. And this is a life for you as a Christian, a life of sanctification. This too is God's plan for you, not just to declare you upright, but to give you this in-between time. Essentially, this is your life as a Christian. And this is the way God has planned it. The truth is, He could have, theoretically, He could have forgiven you, declared you upright, and then just taken you to glory. But instead, we have 20, 30, 50, 70, 80 years. And so the question comes, how do we stay encouraged in this in-between period? How do we keep an uplifted spirit when much of the world around us is pointing us downward? How do we remain enthusiastic and optimistic? Or if you will, How does God help us handle the trials of this life? And this text really tells us that God is renewing your mind. That's His procedure for how to live our lives, to live a sanctified life, to be engaged in a renewing of your mind. As Paul says in verse 16, therefore we don't lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly, here it is, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. If you're a Christian, what I mean, if you've given your life to Christ, you are now a recipient of the gospel, the good news of Christ. You're destined to be like Christ, destined for glory, and you are declared an upright person in God's view, no matter how you may feel about yourself at any moment. And you've been given a Holy Spirit, not only the gospel, but you have the Spirit. And this Spirit belongs to each of you who believes. And the Spirit's job is daily to renew your mind. That's what He does. That's what you're engaged in. Each new week, from Sunday to Sunday, each new day, you find yourself struggling. But you also find, and this is in the passive voice here, that you are being renewed. You've discovered that you're caught up in a new way of living, that you're not happy with all that's going on, and there's so much to pull us down and be discouraged. And what the Spirit is doing is He's refreshing and renewing our thinking. The Greek word here for the word for renew here in this 17th verse, inwardly you're being renewed, it means to make new. It means, in one lexicon, to be given new strength and vigor. That's one of the reasons we come to church. The main reason is to be renewed with new strength and new vigor so that we can face the new week. The lexicon goes on to say it means to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the previous corrupt state of thinking or being. Now, how does the Holy Spirit do that? How does He help you renew your mind so that you can be energized and approach life in an optimistic, positive way instead of being someone that nobody wants to be around? What He does, He causes us to... He clears the cobwebs out of our thinking, if you will, and He causes us to interpret again this world and to gain a renewed vision of the unseen world. He helps us to interpret the seen world in a better fashion. And notice in verse 16, it says, outwardly we are wasting away. How easy it is to forget that, folks, this world is wasting away. It's slipping right through our fingers. All that's good, all that's lovely and attractive, you're losing it all. You may have it for a while, but you're losing it all. And also, that means the problems, the mountains that you face, these trials sometimes seem enormous. But you know something? They're slipping away. They're not going to last forever. You know, when I was in the ninth grade, I believe it was, every now and then I'd talk, like a lot of students, sitting around in class. And we had this one teacher. This was back when teachers didn't worry about being politically correct and all of that stuff, you know. And so if you talked, this one teacher, he'd just come over and he'd just take his thumb and just find that little soft spot above your shoulder and just kind of push it down in there and you're like, ah, where did you come from? And this guy is like really putting the pressure on that nerve. And finally, you'd feel like yelling at him, get out of here. But he's worried about his class being under control and everything, you know, being smooth. And so you just want this guy to get out of your life. Well, you know what? I made it to the 10th grade. And I didn't ever see that guy again. And I felt like it was the end of the world when he's got that thumb right down in my shoulder. But, you know, it passed. And the trials of this life are passing. They will not last forever. And you can give so many testimonies of when you've been stuck or when you've been overcome by something, and yet somehow you look back and say, how do we get through that one? And Paul knows what he's talking about when he opens this text, when he says, and we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart, though we're in this world. And the affliction seems so great at times. Paul was beaten with rods. Here's a man who was thrown in the stocks. That's like the leg cuffs. Not handcuffs, but ankle cuffs. He was bound in leg cuffs. And yet we find him in Acts 16. He's praying. He's singing in the middle of the night. And we see him tell us how he was shipwrecked, like the Titanic. You know, they ran aground. And he spent a whole day and a night in the open sea, probably just hanging on to a piece of wood. And Paul says, we don't lose heart. Here's a man who was pelted with stones on several occasions. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. I remember when I was about the fifth grade, and I remember walking down the railroad tracks, and all of a sudden, what was that? Some guy shot me in the middle of the back with a BB gun. Some kid, you know. And, Paul receives a lot more than some BBs in his back, you know. He pelted with rocks. But let's realize that this stuff is not going to last forever. Yes, outwardly we're being tried and tested. But these trials are wasting away. And particularly, maybe in the context here, it would be appropriate to talk about getting older. Because he says, outwardly, we are wasting away. These bodies are wasting away. When my father took ill and couldn't care for himself like he'd like, and the family couldn't care for him like we would have liked, he's in a nursing home. And I remember him sitting on the edge of the bed, and I was doing a little something to help him. And he said, it's no fun getting old. It can be a real challenge, even for you who believe. You've never been old before. How do you know when you're getting old? Chuck Swindoll, in his book, Strengthening Your Grip, he says, here's how you know. Everything hurts. And what doesn't hurt doesn't work. He says you feel like the night before and you haven't been anywhere. He says you sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. How do you know if you're old, your knees buckle, but your belt won't? You die a long distance and it wears you out. He says your fortune teller offers to read the lines in your face. The little gray-haired lady you help across the street is your wife. He says you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. How do you know if you're getting old? You wake up in the morning and your waterbed has sprung a leak. Then you realize you don't have a waterbed. And when you watch a pretty girl go by, your pacemaker makes the garage door go up. When you know all the answers and no one asks you the questions, that's really sad. The sign of old age. So many times we're forgotten. When you decide to procrastinate but never get around to it. Well, those are fun. But, you know, you see they capture the essence there. You can identify, especially as you're getting older. Some of you probably under 30 or 20 or whatever, like, probably haven't lost any teeth yet or those kind of things. Maybe your hair hasn't started to turn and stuff. So you may have a little more difficult time, but believe me, you'll be laughing when you read this a few years from now. And then you'll be hurting inside, saying, how am I going to deal with this? Old age is slipping away. But you know what? I want to challenge you who are getting older. Actually, I want Henry Longfellow to challenge you. He says this on aging, shall we sit idly down and say, the night has come, it's no longer day? The night has not yet come. We are not quite cut off from labor by the failing light. Something remains for us to do or to dare. Even the oldest tree some fruit may bear. Folks, even in your old age, you're wasting away. But you know what? It's not over. And God wants you to keep stepping up to the best you can. Each new day, remember that, yeah, this world's slipping away, but you're still here. And you're still useful to God. And you still shine a light to the world around you. And it's important what you do. Your contributions, your prayers, especially. What an important ministry that older people can have in prayer. Because when you feel you can't get up and do what you'd like to do, how you served in so many ways in the past, you just don't have it. But you're still here. God still cares about you. You still have His Spirit. And He still wants you to press on. And He says, "And our light momentary troubles will not last forever." And what are they doing? What is this outward body as it's living in this broken world, I should say, is so harsh or so hard at times? What is God trying to do? Is it just so that we can go through this and everything will slip away? Well, God is also trying to, the Spirit is trying to make you more glorious as a person. He's trying to shape you through the trials as you step up to make you into a more beautiful figure for Christ. Look at verse 17. He says, "Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory." What he means here is he says he's making these trials are making us shine more fully for Christ, more glorious for Christ. And the NIV is not a great translation here because it doesn't really link the following sentence. But it really should read, while you're fixing your eyes on the eternal and going through these trials, you're becoming a better person. You're becoming a more glorious person. And that glory will be shown here in portion in this life and will be carried into the life to come. Somebody said it's like toothpaste. It's no good to anyone until it's squeezed. And Paul W. Powell, the dean of Truett Theological Seminary, states that God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. And His goal is not to pamper us physically, but to perfect us spiritually. And that's why when we see this world and the Spirit reminds us that, yeah, it's hard right now for me. But you know what? As I deal with it with integrity and as I respond to the harshness in a biblical way, the way God wants me to do, trusting Him, it's going to make me a better person. I'm going to need a lot of help. But the Spirit of God is there to help us. You know, did you know that Bach, J.S. Bach, wrote more than 1,000 compositions? Didn't know that. And you know what he put at the top of the compositions typically? Somebody probably knows here. J.J. And at the end, he put S.D.G. Now, that was on practically everything he wrote, I believe. And Bach didn't, whether he wrote secular or sacred stuff. It's my understanding that he didn't really make a distinction between the secular and the sacred. That everything he did or wrote, composed, one, he put these letters above it, JJ, which stood for Jesus Juva, which means Jesus help me. I suspect he meant Jesus help me make a great composition. And then at the end of the composition, guess what? He put SDG, to God alone be the glory. In other words, if this thing turns out okay and somebody appreciates it, and they say, what a great hymn you wrote or what a great song, God deserves all the credit. And that's a great attitude for us, especially as we are composing our life from day to day. Lord, help me. Help me do a good job today. Help me to compose a day's work that's going to be significant and worthwhile. And then at the end of the day, if someone says, hey, man, you did a great job there working on that project. You did a great job. How did you make it through with all those kids like annoying you all day? How did you do such a great job with your health failing? Just SDG. Sola Dei Gratia, to God alone be the glory. The Holy Spirit's job is to help us remember that this world is passing away. It's temporary. This is a seen world. And He's calling us for patience. He's calling us to respond with integrity and honor as you face this world. And He's calling us to fight the good fight, especially calling for renewing our eternal perspective. And so I spend just a few moments here stressing the seen, the unseen. We spent some time talking about the seen world. This is passing away, but it's, and the trials we experience down here are trying to make us into better people. But rather than focusing our attention down here and getting so attached or so overwhelmed with what's down here, Paul calls us here to focus our attention on the unseen. How are we being renewed? By recalling the gospel of Christ. We have a risen Christ who is greater than the greatest thing in this world. The trials we experience are great, but the gospel of Christ is far greater. I say we're privileged. We're privileged to be forgiven. We're also privileged because we have a risen Christ who is calling us to something far greater than what we are maybe experiencing down here. In Hebrews 11 it says, Abraham was looking for a promised land. He wasn't just looking for the land of Canaan, but he was looking for a land whose builder and maker was God. And that's where we can renew our minds. That's when the Holy Spirit can renew our minds. As we remember, folks, we're caught up a whole lot in the seen world. You know, we live in the seen world. And it's sometimes it seems huge. Both attractive in getting attached to it and both oppressive as it comes down upon us. But really, the Spirit's calling us to be renewed in eternal perspective. To keep our inner mind and eye fixed on the glorious world above. The world that's not wasting away. A world that's eternal, where something's permanent, where the risen Christ is and is calling us to be with Him. And that's the context here, the broader context in this. It's a place, the troubles down here and the attachments down here, the things that are attractive as well, are not worthy to be compared with what He's calling us to, as He says in Romans 8. So in conclusion, verse 18, we're called to fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but just keep our eyes fixed on what is unseen. As he says in verse 18, for what is seen is temporary, transient, but what is unseen is eternal. And you know that 1 Corinthians, you know what it says? Great, it's a great scripture for us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Nobody can conceive of what God has prepared for you who love Him. But He says, but the Holy Spirit has revealed it to us. And that's what the job of the Holy Spirit is, to renew you to that revelation. That, folks, something glorious is waiting for you. And He wants you to keep your eye fixed above on the risen Christ, the glorious Christ, as you're living out your life in this world. That's how we can keep from being discouraged. That's how we can press on. Because this is not all. This is not all there is. And friends of Christ, don't be overwhelmed. Don't be overcome with the problems of your life. Instead, be overwhelmed and overcome with the glorious risen Christ. You know, it doesn't get any better. Can't improve on this outstanding statement from C.S. Lewis, which I'll close with. C.S. Lewis, he says, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought the most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, in the gospel we are assured of a better world to come. The attractions of this world are great, and the trials of this life are great. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that the glory that awaits us who believe is so much greater. Lord, use this message to regain and renew our eternal perspective as we live down here in this broken, seen world. In your name we pray, amen.